All right, Philippians 4. We're going to finish Philippians tonight. For those of you guys that are just visiting or new, or we go through books of the Bible and Wednesday night, Sunday school, Sunday morning, just going through books of the Bible, I think it's the best way to learn. Learn what's in the Bible, learn the context of what's being talked about. And this is where we are in Philippians, and we'll finish up and figure out some new book to start next week. Philippians chapter 4, Paul ends this letter dealing with an offering that the Philippians had given him, or multiple offerings. They were a very generous church, helped him many times apparently. Philippians 4:10. So they weren't welfare Christians, I guess you could say, where you know we get fed, but we get help from God, but we don't give back to any of it. We just consume. Not the Philippians. They were help in the ministry. Philippians 4:10. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." All right, I'm going to stop there. The last part of it is a kind of just an ending part of the letter, but the main thing that we're talking about tonight is the Philippians' gifts and their offerings and their giving to Paul's work, and really to the ministry is what they were doing. And so let's pray, and we'll take these verses as they are, and we'll preach on them. So let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you would have liberty among us. You take your words, apply them where they need to be applied. Father, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I desperately need help. Lord, I pray that you bless each soul for being here. I thank you for everybody that's here tonight. I know some traveling, some sick. Lord, I pray that continue to be with the Bond family, Barry and Nancy and Brett and Lauren. I pray that these treatments would get rid of the cancer in Barry's body. I pray that you'd comfort and give their family grace and mercy. Father, I thank you for your words. I thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And I pray you'd help us tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is, like I said, dealing with the Philippians' giving to the ministry, really what helping Paul out in his missionary journeys. And it's just going through this book. This is where we're at tonight. and there's three main things I want to talk to you about or show you from these verses. And I put them all as C words, so it's easy to follow, you know, homiletic, all that stuff. Number one is the care that the Philippians had. Number two is the contentment that Paul had. And then the communication, and he mentions communication, and he says, and he defines it as concerning giving and receiving. So those three things are in these verses. These, like I said, these Philippians were not, they're not welfare children of God. And what I mean by that is they didn't just take and take and take and never give back. They actually contributed to Paul's traveling and trying to get the word of God out. And so that's I don't know if that's rare or what it is, but it is noble. It is something that people want things for free, and that's just the way people are. Just want things for free, and they don't want to give back to it. But Philippians gave back. So let's look at these three things. Verse 10, he says this. He says, talking about his care, or their care of him. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, verse 10, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. All right, the care he's talking about, not that they were worried they were worried earlier, but he's talking about specifically the care they took for Paul. They were trying to give to him. They were trying to make sure he would get where he was going. They're trying to make sure his needs were fulfilled. And so as they had ability to give to him, they would send him an offering. And you see that over there in Corinthians. He talks about the Macedonians. When he talks about the Macedonians, he's talking about the Philippians. And so he's overjoyed that the Philippians would give of their treasures and of their money toward the furtherance of the gospel. And Paul makes it clear he's not looking for money. It's not that he says, I speak not in respect of want. I'm not trying to get your money, but I appreciate, and it brings joy to my heart that you would contribute to the work of God. That brings joy to my heart. That's what he says there. He says, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So the care they took, number one, dealt with their offerings. Let me show you this. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9. We'll be coming back to 2 Corinthians because Paul mentions the Philippians here. 2 Corinthians 11:9, he says, and when I was present with you, Paul's talking to the Corinthians in this letter, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. That's the Philippians. The brethren from Macedonia supplied. That the Philippians gave that. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. All right, so over and over the Philippians contributed. They were grateful, they were appreciative of the work of God in Paul, and they wanted it to continue. And so they contributed to what Paul was doing, made sure he got where he needed to go, made sure he was taken care of. And as they had opportunity to do so, they did it. That's the care. Then Paul says something that is a famous verse that is taken so out of context with it is put on plaques, it's put on things and houses. But he says this. He says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notice that came in the context of this whole thing. And people will take that verse. This is the second point. Paul's contentment. All right. Paul said, I appreciate the gift not because I have this great need or, you know, I'm desperate for funds. He said, I appreciate that you guys appreciate the work of the ministry and the work of God. And so you're willing contributors to it. And the second point of this is, Paul says, in explaining that, he says, verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, this famous verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, comes in the context of being content. How many times have you heard that verse applied to whatever someone wanted to do with their life? Just I'm gonna go, and I'm going to get this raise. I'm gonna go get promoted. I'm going to go run this company. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That has nothing to do with what the verse says. The context is, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I know how to be hungry, and I know how to be full. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I have a balanced, content life. And that's the all things. I can find myself anywhere on the spectrum. Hungry, full, poor, rich. And it doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change my service for the Lord. It doesn't change my mind about things. It's just whatever state I am, that's where I'm at. And so let's deal with these couple things. All right, verse 12. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's the context of the verse. I'm gonna make $1 million, or I'm gonna go get this job and I'm claiming the promise. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. No, you may not get the job. No, that's not a promise about your financial situation. What it is Paul explaining his contentment in Jesus Christ, whether he's rich or poor or hungry or full or whatever state it is. I can do all things wherever I'm at. I'm content. I'm satisfied. I'm at peace. I don't need something else to satisfy or fulfill my life. Jesus Christ is my contentment, and I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I don't need something else. And whatever state I find myself in, that's just whatever state I'm in. And I'm happy in whatever state I'm in. Notice a couple things. Paul was a student. He was a doctor of the law. He was well educated. And he said this. He said, I have learned that in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Meaning that there's some education there. In fact, there's some very valuable education that you won't learn in college, or you won't learn in high school, or you won't learn in anywhere else. But learning to be content in Jesus Christ, that is valuable. He said over there in Timothy, he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what you're looking for in an education? A way to gain, a way to make some money, a way to be a valuable person, marketable person that can provide an income for your family. And you know what Paul said? This education in contentment, it has great value. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And it's an education. It's something you had to learn. You can learn it or you may not learn it, but it's something you have to learn. If you, put it this way, if you will acquire it, it will be learned. You will learn how to do this. So Paul said, as much of a student as he was of the scriptures, a doctor of the law, all those things, he said, here's an education I got that is very valuable. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All right, that's one of those, like I said, one of those verses that's just pulled right out of the Bible and just apply it wherever you want to apply it. Contentment. The opposite of contentment. All right, I'll give you a little pop quiz here. In the Bible, does anyone know what the opposite of contentment is in the Bible? And really, it's not even just in the Bible, but just people. What's the opposite of contentment? Discontent. The Bible word for that is covetous. Covetous. Meaning I want. Covetous is the spirit that says, I want, I want, I want. I am fundamentally discontent with the state I'm in. And I need this other thing because I think this other thing will make me happy. I am fundamentally discontent. The Bible just calls that covetousness. And he says covetousness, which is idolatry. I'm going to give you, I know we've gone over some of these verses before. I'm going to give them to you pretty quick here. But I just want you to see the enemy of contentment here. Contentment is the opposite of covetousness, and covetousness is the opposite of contentment. I tell you what, I'll look over here in Hebrews. Look in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. I'll give you a couple of these verses here. Hebrews 13, 5. So you can be consumed with things you don't have, or you can be consumed with the things that you have in Jesus Christ. Or you can be consumed with the new and latest and greatest, you name it, whatever it is. In the 90s, there was Beanie Babies, there was, I don't know, you guys help me, what were the Christmas gifts? There was Beanie Babies, there was Nintendo, there's Xbox, there's PlayStation, there was, I don't know, whatever the newest things are. You know what you find out? There's always something new. There's always something new. And there's always toys for the little kids and for the big kids too. Hebrews 13:5, all right, I'll get to the Bible here. He says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. All right, you see the opposite there? Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Now, I'm going to show you what happens when people aren't content. Remember we said that, I showed you, being content was an education that had value. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You go to get an education so you can gain. So you can be marketable, so you can make an income. Let me show you what happens when you don't get that education. What happens when you don't get that? What happens when you don't learn those things? Let me ask you this. Can rich people be covetous? Yes. How about this? Can poor people be covetous? Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what state in life you're in. In fact, let me show it to you. Look over here in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 13. Jeremiah 6:13. Contentment is very valuable. And covetousness is very costly. And covetousness is no respecter of persons. Look in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 13. Jeremiah 6:13 says, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. Everyone, from the least to the greatest, from the beggar to the king, he said, this whole nation is given to covetousness. None of them are content. They all want, and the wants are never ending. The wants are just a endless, bottomless pit. It sounds familiar. It really sounds familiar. He says, from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. So covetousness is not limited to rich people. Well, they just want your money and all this stuff. Poor people may want some stuff too. It's not a respecter of persons. All right, look over here in the New Testament. I'm dealing a lot with this because of, like you said, Shirley, it just sounds very familiar. 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is the verse we were talking about a while ago. Paul said he was content, and there was value in being content. If you're covetous, there's a price to pay for it. I'll give you a couple of these things. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. He says, but godliness, 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. All right, that's what you're looking for in an education. Some gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. All right. Money is not evil. The love of money is evil. And you can be poor and love money, and you can be rich and love money, and you can be middle class and love money. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some, what's the next word? Coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So, contentment has value. It's a good education. It brings value into your life spiritually. It brings value even monetarily. Covetousness, on the other hand, has a cost. And not only does it have a cost if you're not serving God, it has a cost to people who want to serve God, people who want to do right. He says that if they that will be rich, not that they are rich, not that they have it, he just said they that will be. They will be rich. That's what they want. That's their will. I will be rich. Fall into, what does he say? Temptation and a snare. All right, so what happens? I'll give you one from the Old Testament. Maybe one or two more here. Look in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33 and verse, let's see. Verse 30. Ezekiel 33:30. Paul said, I'm content. I've learned to be content. And so now we're dealing with the opposite of that, which describes maybe most of us. Ezekiel 33:30. Here's one of the consequences. It says, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. So here's the scene in Israel. The people say, you got to come hear Ezekiel. This he preaches. He knows the Bible. I mean, you got to come hear him. And so they're telling all their friends, you got to come hear him preach. He's a prophet. And so he says they're gathering up their people. And then Ezekiel preaches and the people are saying, yeah, amen, that's right. That's right. What he's saying is right. And then they all turn around and they walk out the doors and they go right back to wanting everything they wanted before they came in the doors. And they go right back to desiring everything that they don't have. And the cost to them is, God says, for instance, I would like, maybe bring it up to a modern day thing, maybe you could support some more missionaries. And then you realize, I can't really give to more missionaries because I got to pay for my mule and my truck and my razor and my whatever, Xbox and my RV and my... And so when I go to serve the Lord, I find out I can't serve the Lord because I don't have any way to do it. And that's what he says. He says, and it go right back to their covetousness. They won't serve me. What does he say there? With their mouth they show much love. Man, he's good. He preaches. He's good. That Ezekiel, he's a real preacher. They show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And so when it comes time for, you know, an offering or something to be sacrificed or something to be given to the work of the ministry or something to be given to the Lord, they all look around and they say, maybe somebody else will write the check because I'm all tied up in all my stuff. Meaning this is the cost of covetousness. Their heart goeth after covetousness. They're all tied up in stuff that they've wanted and wanted, and every year it was something new, and every season it was something new, and Walmart had the new thing, or Cabela's had the new thing, or the new fishing pole, or the new boat, or the new car, or the new this, or the new that, or the new Nintendo, or the new Xbox, or the new whatever. And so they went after all that stuff, and when it came time to actually serve the Lord, they said, what he said was, they look at each other and they say, what he said was right, but I don't have any means to help in this. And they just go right back to doing what they were doing. So here's the point of all this. Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Meaning I got educated in this. And it's a valuable lesson. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if I don't learn that lesson, What I'm learning is how to stop being covetous. But if I don't learn how to stop being covetous, I'll find that the covetousness will run my entire life. And I will be chasing after my wants and chasing after my desires. And you say, he's got everything he wants. No, nobody has everything they want because they always have more wants. You'll never have everything you want. Because there'll always be another want. There'll always be another Xbox. There'll always be another Elmo doll or whatever it is. There's always something else. You know what's going to happen Christmas this year? There's going to be something new come out. And you know what we're all going to do? Figure out how we can put it on a credit card and pay for it for the next 3 months. Yeah, amen, yeah. And then you spend months paying for this thing. And then we come to church and then we say, man, I wish we could do more with missions. I wish we could do more with this. I wish we could do more of that. But if we're going to do more, Somebody else is going to have to write the check because all my checks are going to my Christmas gifts. He says, this covetousness will just eat up your life. It will just completely consume you. Paul says, look, I have learned to be content. I can be rich. I can be poor. I can be hungry. I can be full. I can be whatever. I'm fine. I'm happy where I'm at. Why am I happy? Because my happiness is in Jesus Christ. I don't need something else to fulfill my life. So then back to Philippians and wrap it up here. Contentment. There's probably about 10 sermons in contentment. We could all use it. People will do, millions of people in this country will sit down tonight, they will turn on their TV, they will be surrounded by running water, air conditioning, food in the fridge, toys they're still paying for, and something will come across the screen and it will say, you got to have this. And you know what they'll think? Hey, I got to get me one of those. I got to get me one of those. Surrounded by AC, running water, food, 4 cars in the driveway, a house, nice job. And every couple of minutes, something will show up on the screen that says, you got to get one of these. You need one of these in your life. It will make your life complete. And people will sit there and remote control, however we do it now, just think it. You know, you just think the channel changes and whatever it is now. That's how I'm sure it's coming. And they'll sit there in the recliner and think, man, I got to get that fishing pole. That's good. That bow, that looks good. That car, whew. Honey, did you see that? Wow, look at that car. Oh, you know what? We got to get that Xbox. I don't know what it is now, whatever. Fortnite or whatever the thing is now. I don't know, whatever. We got to get one of those. You know what it is? It's covetousness. Not satisfied. Always wanting something else. I'm always chasing these wants. And I haven't learned how to be content. I don't know how to do it. I just don't know how to do it. Back to Philippians and we'll wrap it up here. Verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but that I desire fruit that may abound to your account. All right, now he's explaining the value of contentment, the value of being able to give generously, the value of not being tied to your wants all the time, and the value of finding a need. Here's the Philippians. They saw some opportunity in the ministry of Paul and said, if we can contribute to that, there will be blessings, and the word of God will go out further if we can contribute to that. And so he says, Paul says, not that I speak because I wanted your money, but I was glad that you were generous because now God is going to credit your account with that. He's going to put that on your account. Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Go back to 2 Corinthians to see this last thing here. That offering would help Paul with his needs. 2 Corinthians 9, about this fruit to their account. You know, it's a blessing. It's a privilege to be able to do something for missionaries around the world. And that is fruit that is attributed to our account. That is something that God says, you may not be doing the work, but supporting the work is just as much as doing the work. And if you're going to support it, I will count you as much a laborer in the work as the one doing the work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 4, about this fruit. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 9, 4, lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. All right, so here's the simple point of this. Corinthians said they were going to give something to Paul's ministry. Or get, not, I don't know if it's just Paul, but give something and contribute from one church to another church. And so Paul said, well, so people aren't saying Paul's in this for the money. He sent a couple of guys ahead to go make sure that what the Corinthians said was true and they were going to actually have the funds to do this. So he sends a couple folks there, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. All right, what he's not saying, number one, is the fruit that is being born to their account is not, if you put $10 in the plate, God is going to give you $100. He's going to tenfold give it back. You know what happens if you put $10 in the plate? You're $10 poorer. I'm just, the fruit though, it's the ability to take something that is finite, that has an end to it, and take a little bit of this and put it forward and reap eternal benefits with something temporary. You know what happens when you support a missionary in, I'll just say, over in Africa? And that missionary starts church, and souls get saved, people get fed. You know what happens? We are all a part of that ministry, and all of that fruit is eternal fruit that has been won by this temporary money that we gave. Just you're willing to let it go. So Paul's not saying, if you give, God's going to double your income. God's going to make sure you get that job. You know, some people give and they lose their job. So sometimes people start serving God and they start losing things. Paul, you know what Paul had? Paul had a good income before he got saved. Paul made good money before he got saved. And then he got saved. And then he started serving the Lord. And then he had rocks thrown at him. And then he was run out of town and beat up and thrown in jail. You know, he's not saying you're going to double your income. He's talking about eternal fruit that can be purchased with temporary things. You want to make a contribution? The Lord says, I will count you as much a part of this ministry as the one doing the ministry. I will count the supplier as much as the one doing it. You will all be in it together. and it will be fruit on your account. Back over in Philippians and wrap this up, last couple verses. Philippians 4, verse 17. It says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That's the point. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All right, that's another one of these verses people just grab and apply wherever they want to apply it. You know what Paul's saying? You guys have sacrificially given to what's going on here. And Paul says, you know what I know? God's going to supply your need. He's going to take care of you. Now, maybe we have a conflict between needs and wants and things like that. But Paul's saying, you guys have supplied my need through this. My God shall supply your need. Now, this isn't, like I said, another verse where people just grab it and, you know, run with it. This is my verse. Paul is talking to a generous church, a sacrificial church. And he's saying, you guys have supplied my needs, my God shall supply your need. Now, that's the all of this dealing with the Philippians giving. And like I said, when we started Philippians, one of the things Philippians is a thank you letter from Paul for their generosity, for their care of him, for their love of him, for their concern for him, because they were concerned about him. They didn't hear from him for a while sometimes, and they got concerned about him. And so Paul is reassuring them. He is very grateful for them. And over, he is telling them, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And this last part is kind of a thank you for your support and for your help. I appreciate it. God is going to give that. He's going to account that as fruit on your behalf. You don't have to do the work, but you're supporting it. And God says, you know what? That's all the same to me. You may not be doing it, but if you're supporting it, all the same to me. Count it as fruit. And so I hope that's helpful for you. That is the end of Philippians, the last few verses. Basically the closing. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So this is when Paul's at, he is... Going from jail to jail, and so he's in Caesar's household here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father, I pray this has been helpful tonight. Go through these verses. I pray we'd learn what we need to learn, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.